Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Hello, this is your host, Sydney Wildsmith, and you're on the mark. Let's get ready, set, go. So are you ready to set foot on a national trail? Historic, recreational, scenic? You take your pick or choose all three. You're on the right path. We'll be right back on the world's leader in internet talk, WS Radio. I'm glad you're coming along on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This is Sydney Wildsmith, and we are back with the Wildside News, and our journey into the National Trail System continues. We're now going to hear from a gentleman, Stephen Elkington. He's the program leader from the National Trail System with the National Park Service, who administers a lot of our nation's best trails and the most amazing trails. So let's take a moment here and let's have a chat with Stephen Elkington, who's the program leader with the National Trail System, and you work out of Washington, D.C., is that correct?
I do. I work in the National Park Service headquarters.
You are someone who is involved in what are called the National Trail System. Now, a lot of people don't know that much about the National Trail System, and they really need to know a lot more, because in reality, it's one of the most extraordinary resources for people to get out and learn about the United States and their country and their community and about nature and history. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about the National Trail System.
I often wonder whether the reason I'm in this work is because 30 years ago, last summer, I was hiking on the Pacific Crest Trail in Oregon in the Three Sisters Wilderness. I just fell into this trip as kind of a post-college hippie wandering around, joined a group that was going out, and I'm walking along for a couple of days through the lava fields up there, and all of a sudden it struck me, who would build this trail? Why is this trail here? And I guess the good Lord heard me and said, in your career, Steve, you're going to find out. So 14 years ago, I had the privilege of applying for a job in the Park Service headquarters as the National Trail System Program Leader, and got the job, and that was really my only qualification, was that little hike on the Pacific Crest Trail. But I did everything I could to learn about what this system is. It is a system that very few people in the public know much about. They've heard of the National Park System, they've heard of the National Forest System. National Trail System was created by law in 1968. At that time, there were just two trails, the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail. In 1978, the category of National Historic Trails was added, and since 1983, that's the only kind of trail that's been added to the system. So today, there are 23 trails. They total in corridor length about 40,000 miles, so it's about the same size as the interstate highway system. For the historic trails, many of those miles, there's nothing left. So for the historic trails, we focus in on the remnant ruts and traces and grave sites, which are called high potential sites or high potential segments. For the scenic trails, the goal there is a continuous path. So the Appalachian Trail, Pacific Crest Trail, you can hike from end to end. The other national scenic trails like the Ice Age Trail, the Potomac Heritage Trail, the North Country Trail, the Florida Trail are in development, and they're between 40% to 60% done. So there's a lot of work still to do, but eventually you'll be able to basically cross the country, both north and south and east and west, on various components of the National Trail System.
One of the most intriguing aspects, from my perspective, about the National Trail System is the way actually the work gets done.
Mm-hmm.
In many other federal land agencies and things, they have big budgets and big staff. And the National Trail System really works almost in a very different way, which I think is an interesting part of the story because of your relation to communities, gateway communities, volunteers. Why don't you talk about that, because I think that's where people can really hop into this experience and gain more than they ever expected.
No question. The first trail to really come into the system, the trail around which the National Trail System Act authorities were built, was the Appalachian Trail. And here was a trail that was started in the 1920s. The Appalachian Trail Conference became a very strong nonprofit organization soon thereafter. And by the mid-60s, they had done everything they could to build and preserve this trail from end to end from Maine to Georgia. However, there were major threats to the trail corridor, and they realized if they were going to ever protect this trail in perpetuity, they needed to turn it more into the idea of a long, skinny national park. And so that's when the proponents for that trail came to the federal government. They found an ally in the former governor of Wisconsin, who was then a senator, Gaylord Nelson. And together they and many other people crafted not just an Appalachian Trail Act, but the National Trail System Act, so it opened the door to these other trails. And the tone for these partnerships was set in the Appalachian Trail community, where you had this strong, vibrant, citizen-led group of volunteers. And they were insistent that the federal government not step in and do everything, but that they assist, but the citizens being the lead. So our first leadership in the Park Service on the Appalachian Trail had this wonderful metaphor, let the group drive the car, and we're in the back seat helping where we can. Now, it makes us backseat drivers, but it puts a lot of the leadership skill on the citizen drivers of these trails, and that makes it quite wonderful.
So I would have to assume that communities get very involved, literally in their own backyard.
Oh, yeah.
In participating in the national trail system. That to me is exciting.
I think this is particularly true on the historic trails, because on the scenic trails, they're basically in the backcountry behind the towns. Whereas in the historic trails, many of the towns along those routes, like Baker, Oregon, Baker City, Oregon, or Tumacockery Mission in Arizona, etc., these places are the result of trail passages, and therefore those communities see the trail. In Las Vegas, the old Spanish trail is its history before the coming of the town of Las Vegas. The only history they had was the old Spanish trail. So many of these communities become great advocates for the trails.
You know, if a person wanted to actually become involved in some of the trail organizations, how does a person contact them and get involved?
Probably the best way instantly would be through websites, to do a search on a trail you're interested in, and in that search list that will come up on the web will be a listing for a trail organization or several. Many of these trails have more than one support group, and then contact them that way. There's literature for these organizations that you can find sometimes at trail conferences, but you know, not a lot of people go to those. Sometimes there's literature on those at trailheads. If you want to do a work party, say on the Pacific Crest Trail, Pacific Crest Trail Association often has material at the various trailheads. So it takes a little digging, but every trail has a citizen group, at least one, and they're the ones who organize the volunteers oftentimes.
You know, I hear rumors about this something called the Discovery Trail. What can you tell me about that? Is that a rumor or is that beginning to happen?
Oh, it's way more than a rumor. The American Discovery Trail was a rumor when it was conceived. This is now 14 years ago, 1990. A exploring party came across from California looking for a coast-to-coast route that would be like the backbone of the national trail system. They conceived it first as a hiking trail, then later on they realized much of it was open to mountain biking and other kinds of uses, horseback and so on. They chose a belt of states across the middle of the country and let trail groups in each state identify a best route for them. They tried where they could to stay out of wilderness areas and also out of, you know, developed areas. I know at one point in the middle of winter, they were in Kansas, this is about 1991, and they said, this is not a coast-to-coast trail, this is a trail that starts in Kansas and goes to both coasts. What's resulted is a 6,600-mile trail that connects Point Reyes, California with Cape Henlopen in Delaware. From Denver to Cincinnati, it's actually a mid-continent loop, so there's a northern part that goes up near Chicago, a southern route that goes down along the Santa Fe Trail and through the land between the rivers in Illinois and Indiana. The American Discovery Trail Society, a vibrant group, is the current managers of it. They have legislation afoot in Congress to recognize it as part of the national trail system. Hasn't yet passed all the hurdles, but it's working its way up slowly. So someday that trail may come into the system and be, it would serve as the backbone because it would be the only coast-to-coast, east-west trail in the whole system.
Now, do you have any great information about, like, websites that people might go to if they want to learn more about trails?
Well, I'll push our website in the National Park Service, which is www.nps.gov. /NTS for National Trail System. But I would suggest for your listeners to basically do a search on either the National Trail System as a term or any particular trail, the Trail of Tears National Historic Trail, the Pacific Crest National Scenic Trail, et cetera, because they'll find many websites. I want to alert you to be careful when you put Lewis and Clark. This year, as you know, is the beginning of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. Next month in Alton, Illinois, the whole expedition will be moving west up the Missouri River, and it'll take 2 more years for them to do this reenactment of this whole great expedition that occurred 200 years ago. At one point, there were over 900 Lewis and Clark websites out there. I think that's cut back a little bit, but you can find basically anything you want dealing with Lewis and Clark. The journals, education materials, tourism materials, tours by state, visitor centers, the whole gamut of the Lewis and Clark experience you can find somewhere on the web. Well, I want to encourage your listeners to get out on the trail. There are wonderful trails here in Southern California. There are wonderful trails across the country. And the trails close to home are the gateways to the trails of the rest of the country. We're also trying to work on international connections. So some of these trails lead to Mexico, to Canada. And believe it or not, there's a whole international trail system that predated the European Union that crosses all the European countries from Stockholm down to Istanbul and to the Atlantic coast. So once you get the trail bug, my motto is trails are for life.
We've been talking with Stephen Elkington, Program Leader for the National Trail System of the National Park Service. Thank you, Stephen, so much. We'll talk again soon.
That was Stephen Elkington, and he's going to be a regular contributor here on the Wild Side News. Say, I want you to be aware of the fact that National Trails Day is going to be June 5th of this year, and we're going to have a special show on June 3rd to really pull together all the various leaders again in the community and the volunteers to discuss and celebrate our national trail system. So all you have to do now is locate a trail and head on out. You've got no excuse. There's great things to discover out there. Make sure you check out our website, The Wild Side News, where you can always go to hear the show live. You can see the archives. Tell your friends. Find your favorite segment and tune in on The Wild Side News. This is your host, Sidney Wildsmith. You're listening to The Wild Side News Show, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.